Either way.
No, it would be a conditional approval. Well, yeah, I mean, that would, yeah. They would be required to identification, so that would be a condition.
Ready? Are we ready, gang?
Yep.
Go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Development and Environmental Review Committee. Today is August the 23rd. It's approximately 10:07. I'm Oliver Mujica, chairperson of the committee and the planning division manager. We can do introductions, please.
I'm C. Chaco, land development.
Gary Akers, land development.
Mahmoud Fildor, Public Works Traffic.
Robert Spoda, Public Works Engineering.
Ted Brunson, Water Department Engineering.
Robert Castro, Water Department Environmental Control.
Melina Perez Ramirez, DERC Secretary. Gracie Johnson, Public Works and Integrated Waste.
Sarah Pearson, Fire Department.
Thank you. You notice that we have a few people that are here for the public. When the item that you're interested to speak on, if you'd like to, you're welcome to come up, introduce yourself, provide your name and address for the record, please, and then you could ask whatever questions or comments you may have at that point. Our first item on the agenda, item number one, is development permit type D-1707 and subdivision 1704, which is a request to consolidate 15 parcels containing a total of approximately 8.56 acres and allow the development, establishment, and operation of an industrial warehouse building containing approximately 172,953 square feet, along with the construction of the on- and off-site improvements. Property is located on the southwest corner of East Benedict Road and South Tippecanoe Avenue, and the property is currently zoned and will remain zoned industrial light. And the environmental determination on this, if you recall, we did an initial study, mitigated negative declaration, which was circulated for the mandatory, CEQA mandated 20-day public review period. Aside from a couple of the public agency comments, we did not receive any comments from the public at large. And with that, I'd like to move on to comments from land development, please.
So this project is going to be subject to full CAT WQMP and a SWIP be required for this project. Also, a demo permit will be required for the existing structure. The proposed sewer extension on Benedict Road and the storm drain proposal will require the reconstruction of the Benedict Road back to 28 feet wide minimum. Also, the storm drain sewer on Clevenger will need IVDA approval, as mentioned in the pre-app. The proposed storm drain connection for the overflow at the property line will require a manhole and a filtration device or filter approved by Public Works. And also, I noticed that the plan still shows there's fencing on the southwesterly corner for that auto parking. That was Edison easement at that location. I'm not sure if that was proposed to be fenced. So we will be asking that access should be provided for that easement at the southwesterly corner. And any improvement within City of Riverside easement need to be permitted, approved by them, as noted in your conceptual grading plan. Also, a trash guard and filter device need to be installed at all public work catch basins system. And parcel map will be required for this, and one is proposed for these projects. As mentioned in the pre-app, LMD may be required, but now I have talked to Real Property and they require an LMD to be formed for these projects. No further comments.
Thank you. Gary, do you have anything to add, please?
The only concern that I would add is that, and I think traffic and public works are going to talk about it, is the connection there at Tippecanoe. So we just want to make sure that works, and that's all.
Thank you.
Yes, the same comments, I guess, The concern will be the acceleration of the truck as they're coming out to this bit to the canoe before approaching the bridge. This is the only comment I have as far as the circulations.
Is there, Mahmoud, is
yes.
there any, is there any mitigation beyond the,
no, the
impact
from
fees?
The traffic was no additional comments.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Robert.
As mentioned, we're a little bit concerned on the exiting of Benedict going southbound onto Tippecanoe. We just want to make sure that the trucks are going to be able to go, if that's your truck route, make sure that the trucks are going to be able to accelerate on the southbound lane. So if that is your truck route, we need to really look at that in those portions. If not, then we'll look at not really touching that area, but again, it's depending on what we're seeing in your route itself. The improvements that were given, or the conditions that were given in the pre-app, pretty much the same. The only thing we did refine a little bit more is on that frontage road. We're looking to make sure that that's improved to accept any of the trucks. Not sure if that's going to be considered your emergency access in or out, or if that's actually going to be used as your main entrance or your main exit. In which, again, we're going to be looking at truck turning templates depending on what your circulation of your project is going to be. We are asking for a street light. Again, that's not in your original. We are asking for a street light just on that side so we can light up that frontage road. Pretty much all the other conditions that were set in the pre-app meeting will stay the same. We're not really asking for any more, just a little more definition on a couple of things. The storm drain that Gary had mentioned, is that there's new permits coming up through the county flood control and with the county permit, the MS4 permit that we're following. It's requesting that we actually have trash guards on any of the, our public works catch basin openings. Also a filtration device that's on the inside of it. Hence the reason why we're asking for a manhole, the separation between the private and the public, and then any of the entrances from the catch basins going from the street into the underground system. A few minutes ago, I'd gotten an email from Oliver requesting about the condition of that cul-de-sac down on Sunnyside. The only concern we're going to look at is we'd like to see a turning template to make sure that the paved area that you're suggesting will accept the turning of our trucks or the trucks that you may be having so they can turn around. We want to just make sure that there's enough asphalt there, so we may need to kind of manipulate the asphalt in that direction just so the trucks can make a turn in that area. We're also going to have no parking on either side of the street, just in that structure area from, I believe it's Hope Street, coming south, just so we don't have any blockage of the vehicles coming in and out of there. Other than that, I think that's it. Turning radius, again, a template just to verify that the radius down on Sunnyside and Benedict, the southeast corner, that's yours. Just make sure that that has the ability for a truck to turn without causing any problems of jumping over the things. Again, that's going to be a lot is going to be based on your truck route, on how you're planning on getting in and out of your parcel. So we'll just ask for that information. If it looks good, we're pretty much going to stay the same with it, but if it happens to start causing a little problems, we may ask for a wider curb return or a little more improvements depending on, again, your truck route.
That's it. Thank you, Robert. Okay, anything for us, please?
Sure. So same thing, same conditions apply that we talked about during the pre-application review for this. An agreement's going to be required with the department, developer install agreement for the main extension that's required in Benedict Road. As I mentioned during the pre-application review, in addition to Benedict Road, the water department's asking for the main extension in Sunnyside along the frontage of the project. If it's determined that either possibly through an analysis or not, but if there's sufficient volume of water available to meet the fire department requirements with just that main extension alone, then that's acceptable. If not, we may waive the requirement for the main extension in Sunnyside, and I believe that there was some previous conversation about possibly extending Benedict Road all the way over to Clevenger. That would be acceptable as well, and then Depending upon fire department's requirements, we may not have to put a main extension in Sunnyside. And then regarding the sewer, it sounds as though there's going to be a connection or a replacement for the, well, there isn't an existing sewer in Benedict right now, correct?
To my knowledge, there's no sewer available. They're
right.
going to be taken all the way to Clevenger?
Right. Yeah, so it's going to go all the way to Clevenger. What the water department would like to see for this is the water and sewer improvement plans combined. That's moving forward. That's going to be the new direction that we ask. So if we can have a plan set, it combines both. And let's see, sewer capacity fees will still be required prior to issuance of the building permit. And pretty much covers everything over.
Okay, thank you, Ted.
Robert, anything for us from?
Is this project still proposed as a spec building? No tenant in place for this?
Okay.
Then it's the same previous conditions, the environmental control plan check procedures that were handed out the last time are still required to be completed. An industrial user permit application will be required to be completed for the spec building and submitted to environmental control directly.
Thank you, Robert. Tracy, any questions?
We're still looking for the proposed locations for the trash compactors, well, one for trash and one for recycling. Can you please forward those two proposed locations to Oliver and myself for our review and approval? We'll be looking for two.
And we can be placed by the compactor or the sugar trash.
I thought they were going to, you're going to do trash compactors?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. I just need to see the two proposed locations, one for trash and one for recycling.
Crazy.
Thank you.
Sarah?
Standard requirements, as it was in the pre-app, I just want to reiterate the fact that we will require 2 points of connection for water, just based on the fire flow. I don't know where that will come from, so you have to work with Ted on that. And then also, just there's no fencing around the exterior of the property except for on the back side, as we discussed, since that will be a fire department access point. Other than that, it's standard. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. You had a question, Robert?
Yeah. I apologize. For some reason, I'm getting nervous on this. I'm not sure why. I forgot the driveways that we had indicated in here are allowing to for a large radius for your trucks and stuff like that. If it's just for the pedestrian parking, the employee parking, we'd like to go just use the city standard for those portions. I noticed that you had the two radiuses on those also. We'd like to change those over to the standard driver approach, just for the employees. If it's a joint where you're going to be using with the trucks, please use the radius ones also for that. The second portion of that is that I've been forgetting to tell Ted, and because he's not taking over the water and things, that I've been forgetting also, is that if this is a spec building and we don't quite know what you're going to be doing or what the tenant's going to be doing on it, the capacity of the sewer is going to be based on the property acreage, if I remember correctly, on the type of industrial building it might be. We'd like to have that written on the plans itself, so that way if this is so many gallons per minute or so many gallons per hour or per year, whatever it is that it's estimated at, we'd like to have that put on the plans. In the future, we're not sure what kind of tenant might be in there. And if there's a tenant in there that is producing more than that right there, it may cause problems with our flow downstream. So I apologize for not telling Ted on that, and I apologize for any other projects that I may have not have mentioned that. But whatever the conditions are set in our policies currently, we'd like to have that written on the plans for any future development or future tenants that might come in and try to exceed that amount.
That's it. Thank you, Robert. Do you have Ted, do you have any questions of any of the committee members? Or Kathy?
No. Thank you very much for your attention to our project.
You're welcome. So we do have the draft conditions, I think, for the conditions that were prepared. I'm in the process of finalizing the resolution this week and get it to you no later than Monday kind of thing. I think we're also going to post the notice of determination as well. We can do that today, or tomorrow, I should say. With that, there be no other questions. Our recommendation is to adopt resolution 2017-051 adopting a mitigated negative declaration and approving development permit type D 1707 and subdivision 1704 based on the findings of fact subject to the recommended conditions of approval. May I entertain a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Opposition? Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, was there anyone in the public that wanted to speak on that item? Not yet? Okay. Is there anyone here for item number two, which is on Inland Center Drive? I don't see the applicant here. With that, we will we'll continue item number two, which is General Plan Amendment 1607, Development Code Amendment, Zoning Map Amendment 1608, and Conditional Use Permit 16-17 for the property located at 841 South Inland Center Drive. I'd like to entertain a motion to continue that to the meeting of September 13th.
So moved.
Second.
So that will be continued to the 13th. Thank you. Item number three is pre-application 1713, a request to allow the development, establishment, and operation of a service station with six fueling islands and three diesel truck fueling islands, a convenience store containing approximately 3,800 square feet, along with the construction on and off-site improvements. This property is located at 1195 South Waterman Avenue. It's located within the currently within the office industrial park zone. And there's no action required in this one. We have some preliminary comments on that. Chantal is the project planner on this item. You've been working with, I believe. And so ultimately, a conditional use permit is going to be required for this. Also, discussion about a general plan amendment to change the zoning to general commercial in order to accomplish service stations are not allowed in the OIP zone. So that's going to be required. In order to do that, we will require an initial study, mitigated negative declaration to be prepared on that. I would ask if you, once you have identified who's going to prepare that for you, if you could let us know who that's going to be so we can talk to them about the scope of work and the timing of that. You know, we work pretty quickly on those with a number of the folks that work in town here, so we can do that. And that's our initial comments for that. Can provide those to you. Thank you. And with that, we'd like to see Chai. Do you have something from my development, please? And again, we have written comments here, so you don't have to scribble every word here.
It's mostly just a standard comment. We want to see the prelim WQMP submitted prior to the actual CUP submittal, so we can take a look at that. And also, a SWIP will be required for more than an acre of like disturbed projects. The demo permit will also be required for the existing structure on that site. And just standard condition, as I said. If you have any questions, you could answer that. Yes. Actually, sorry, I forgot to mention that there's a lot merger required for this project.
Thank you. Mahmoud,
anything else, please?
Yes, for the traffic, we need the scoping form to be filled. We have the traffic divide ones.
Right-of-way and curb lines are at the existing are at the proposed location, so there's not going to be any widening or any additional dedication we're asking for on it. I was not able to go out there and measure that curb return. We're making sure that it is a 35-foot radius so that trucks can make that turn in that area. ADA ramps, driveway approaches, repair of any damaged sidewalk, curb and gutter. Sidewalk will need to be added on to Waterman Avenue. Pavement, we're asking for the soils report to determine what kind of improvement should be done. If none at all, then it'll be a 4-inch over an 8-inch aggregate base. So the soils report should require something less. However, without seeing that, we really, the only thing we can go off is a full loose section on it. And if any type of, these are the conditions that you have over there. The only other thing on there is if you happen to damage any of the loops or traffic equipment as you're doing the improvements, those just need to be replaced. And that's all I got.
Thank you. Ted, anything for us, please?
It would just be standard requirements for the new services that you would want to utilize for both water and sewer. Our applications are available at customer service 1350 South E Street. You can walk in, or they're available online on our website as well.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Robert, anything for us, please?
Standard requirements, which are listed on the plan check procedures form that you were handed. That process starts with the industrial user permit application and the food service permit application that you were handed as well. That's just general information for us to determine if there are any pretreatment requirements for the project. Also, any documents or information, plans that are required by environmental control need to be submitted to environmental control directly. That's all.
Thank you, Robert. Gracie, anything for us?
The proposed location for the refuse enclosure is acceptable with an unobstructed drive aisle to exit. If by chance the three bays are all filled, we can't hold up the refuse truck that's on a route and has to finish by a particular time. So we're going to need a drive aisle to exit out of that area after providing service. You'll also be constructing a modified standard plan 508 8x15 enclosure. And you'll work with the building division to modify that refuse enclosure to meet any ADA access requirements. But those requirements are in addition to the 8x15 area for the bin storage. And that's all.
Thank you. Sarah, anything for us, please?
The same with fire. I was a little confused on that landscaping strip that you have down the center of the property. For us, if we do need to get in there and we are in the back, unless that canopy is high enough, we won't be able to exit the back area. So maybe to make that turn, that landscaping is removed so we can make that turn, but we'd have to look at a turning radius to make that. Other than that, nothing's required to be sprinkled because it's small and then requirements. And then an on-site is required. And then have to work with Coupa for the underground tanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Did you notice on the floor plan, what kind of bears are you going to keep there? The floor plan says it's a joke. It says bear cave. Anyway. Yes, Ted.
I just had one other item to just mention for the applicant. They're not our wells, but I believe the City of Riverside has something directly across the street from this facility. You may need to check with SWRCB, which is State Water Resource Control Board, because there is a distance requirement for your fuel tanks to be a certain distance away from water treatment facilities. And I don't recall that number off the top of my head, but I believe it's 150 feet. So just be aware of that.
I've never heard that before. What code is it?
It's State Water Resource Control Board.
Really?
And I believe that there's a treatment facility for wells that's, Riverside has some wells that are nearby, and it's directly across the street
project. I misunderstood you. Yeah, no, there is requirements for that. There's a well across the street?
Yeah.
Is there?
On the south side, yeah.
How far away is it?
I'd have to look at it.
Yeah.
So I just want to make you aware of that.
I thought you were talking about the underground storage tanks. Well, you are, but
yeah.
I didn't realize there's a water well. Yeah, there is a requirement for that.
Right. So that's what we're here for, is to, you know, mention these things when we see the project.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions of the committee members?
I have one more.
Sure.
The fire. But did you say sprinklers were not required?
They are not under the 5,000 square foot requirement.
5,000?
Correct. Yeah, and the use does not require fire sprinklers.
You can put them in if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm all for them. I mean, I'm not against it. It's just we will have on-site though, on-site hydrants, so you still have a connection.
You think we're gonna need on-site?
Possibly. I don't know where the street hydrants are located enough. We'd have to measure that out. So, looking at the depth of the lot.
Is that 150 feet?
It's all portions of the building, correct?
150.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
we probably want to be, okay. Yeah.
Probably at least one.
Yeah, okay.
And to respond to that, the water department would sell you a fire service and you would install your private on-site hydrant from that fire service. But the fire hydrants, in other words, on-site would be considered private and not public.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Comments? Anyone in the audience wishing to speak on this item? With that, there is no action required on this item. So thank you. We'll look forward to seeing your formal application.
Thank you all.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, Howie, you're turning the barrel. Item number 4 is pre-application 1714, a request to allow the conversion of an existing two-story office building into a multifamily residential complex comprised of 10 residential units, along with the required construction of on- and off-site improvements. Property is located at 1595 North Arrowhead Avenue and is currently within the commercial office zone. We have gone out to review the property with the applicants, fire, building and safety, and myself, and kind of talk about the feasibility. And if you recall some of these projects, we want to talk with fire and building and safety, make sure that it's even possible before we go through the process, especially when it involves conversion. Make sure that the fire safety and health safety issues, are addressed. As you know, we have discussed the possibility of a development code amendment of some sorts to allow for this type of residential development on that site. So we are exploring opportunities or alternatives, I should say, to accomplish that. So that will still need to occur, and we could talk later of that process and the timing and such. Chantal currently is the case planner on this. She's provided a few notes, suggested modifications on the site plan kind of thing that we could address that, and I can provide that to you so that you could have that. With that, that's it for planning. CHI, do you have any comments for plan development, please?
It's not much comment on this, as it's an existing site. One of the comments we have is that the accessibility, parking space configuration may need to be redesigned so that there's maneuvering between that lot, stall 9, 12, and the ADA space. And other accessible feature could be part of the building set. However, we need some spot elevation and slope to verify the accessible compliance. And a lot merger will be required for these projects. No further comments.
Thank you. Gary,
can you add? On this kind of project, I suggest you retain a CASP if you can, or have your architect do that, a certified access specialist. But sometimes these are problematic about the scoping of what you actually have to provide. So I want to emphasize that you want to pay attention to that.
As far as for the
For accessibility, the building department will work with you on the building itself, but the actual parking lot, access from the street, access into the building. Make
yes.
sure that you work with your CASP on that.
Accessible bedroom and stuff like that.
Yes.
But outside the building as well, because sometimes that's an issue.
Correct, yeah, to the trash enclosure, to the public right away.
Right.
Yes, all any amenity that we provide.
Right.
Yes.
Existing facilities are always tough sometimes to work out the details.
Yes.
Okay.
And along with how many of the units, or do you know how much are going to be accessible?
All the lower level is tiled.
Okay, thank you.
Mahmoud, anything for us, please?
From traffic, no traffic impacts are needed for residential, so, no other comments.
Thank you.
Robert, anything for us, please?
Let's go on the easy side. The curb and gutter and sidewalk that's there, we're just, whatever's damaged or not ADA compliant will need to be replaced. Same thing with a handicap ramp on the corner. Driver approach will be needed to be rebuilt in order to meet the ADA requirements. Right-of-way dedication and a couple of other improvements are going to be based upon what this project then becomes. And I say that questionably because if it was a full new project, I'd be asking for dedication. I'd ask me for that corner to be widened to a 25-foot radius and full improvements done on both on Arrowhead and also on 16th Street. I'm not quite sure if this falls within a new category or not. That's something that I'll have to work out with the planning department. But I want you to be aware that that's some of the things that we're looking at this point to determine, yes, we are going to require it or no, we're not. Sidewalk replacement, that's going to be no matter what. Your ADA is going to be no matter what. It's just the street improvements. The least that I can possibly do would probably be a 10th grind on grind and overlay on Arrowhead, and the same thing on 16th Street. And then the dedication, again, is going to be kind of based on what this project then falls into. If it falls underneath the conditional use permit, then I may need to go a little bit further with it. If it falls outside of that, where it's more just a type of improvement, then those portions go away, just the repair of the existing and then ADA. But I just want to get you guys aware, because I'm not quite sure which direction
the
planning
frontage
going.
Of both.
Excuse me?
On the full frontage, the lot would have, the street would be, you're suggesting to basically
grind and overlay it, yeah.
Okay. The entire length or any distance past?
No, only in the frontage, only in the frontages that you have. So whatever the distances that you have for Arrowhead and the same thing for 16th Street.
Okay. The entire width of the street or is it?
Only half street.
Half the street.
Center line over. There's an existing street light there now. Is that something that you wanted to be upgraded?
Yeah, street lights have to be upgraded to LEDs.
Again, this is going to be based upon how this project kind of turns out.
Okay.
So I just want to give you the worst case so that you're not surprised. Okay, this is going to cost us way, way too much, and it's not going to pencil out. But on the other hand, we need to talk with planning and building to find out how this is going to go about first.
Okay.
If it does, you're aware that we're going to be asking for those improvements. That's about as much damage as I can do.
You think so?
Yeah, for right now.
Thank you, Robert. Ted, anything for us, please?
Sure. So, currently the existing use that's there, I believe there is some kind of water service that originally went there. I don't know the exact size, and I don't think there's a fire service to the structure. Is that correct? Is that your finding as well?
That's correct.
Okay. So just a thought real quick. Do you think these are going to be, from a water standpoint, are they going to be metered individually so each person pays their own water bill, or is it going to be a master meter
that
serves all 10? Okay. Which is easier for us, by the way. Currently, though, this is served from an alleyway that's behind the structure, I believe, or is the meter located out front? Did you do a site? I haven't done a site investigation of it, but I thought the existing water main was in the alleyway behind it.
I thought it was off of Arrowhead. Confirmed.
Okay, it could be. Well, 16th Street doesn't have a water main in front of it, so when the project comes through like this, the water department typically does require the project to install a water main when there isn't one in the street, along the full frontage of the project. That's our rule and reg number 20. So at this point, It may be something that we could look at later and talk about, but at this point, we are going to ask for the water main to be installed in 16th Street, fronting this with the service off of that water main rather than off of, there's an existing service there that you can utilize now, then that would be different. But it, I think you're going to end up needing to upgrade that existing service. I think it's smaller. It's only like 1 inch
right.
in size, where the demand for this would be larger. And then regarding the sewer, there's an existing sewer lateral for it, but based upon the increase in capacity that's going to be going into that lateral, the water department would want to see a fixture count from a civil engineer licensed in the state of California to look at the flow and that existing, I'm not sure of the existing size, the diameter for that lateral right now, but we'd want to see if that existing lateral would suffice for this or possibly need to be upgraded. That's all I have. Obviously, let me add that because of the change of use, you would get some credit for the existing, but the sewer capacity fees would also apply to this as well.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Robert, anything for us?
I have no comment.
What was the question?
Is the anomaly back
there? Is it not showing? I have the location on. Okay.
Unless there's some
driveway.
Yeah, no alley. My mistake. But
yeah, that's it butts up to a neighboring complex, so it would.
I still don't know if there's an exist. Then obviously, if there is the, I don't think there's a main in 16th in front of this. But as I mentioned to you, if the existing services are coming from Arrowhead, we can look at that and possibly just upgrade that service from where
it's at. I
believe
that's the case.
Okay.
And with the Arrowhead. We anticipated with the Arrowhead address that was the frontage.
Okay.
So therefore, the connections of sewer and water would come off of there.
Okay.
All
right.
We'll design
accordingly. As soon as we're done with the meeting, I'll give you my business card, and we can continue to talk about this outside in this forum.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Gracie, anything for us?
Yes, the revised location for the refuse enclosure at the northeast corner of the site, basically off of 16th, is good. we'll be constructing our standard plan 508, which is an 8x15 modified enclosure. You'll need to work with building to modify it for ADA access. And I just wanted to point out the detail shows 4 gates, but our standard is 2 gates. But I have distributed our standard to you.
Okay.
Thank you. Sarah?
No, we've talked about this project. What Ted was saying, wherever your service is, we talked about it coming off of 16th when we're out the site. Just so we have access for wherever that service is, maybe a man gate, since you are going to, if you do come off of Arrowhead. And then on the south side of the project is, because we need accessibility all the way around it for us for fire, is that cement or what is that? Indicate on the very south side. Is that grass or is
it? It's currently concrete.
And that what it'll be maintained as concrete?
Correct, with a man gate on the
okay.
south side.
Okay. Other than that, you'll have fire sprinklers required in the dwelling units. Set for fire.
Thank you, Sarah. Do you have any questions of the committee members? Do we have someone in the audience that would like to come forward? If you please. Will you provide your name and address for the record, please?
Okay. That's not sent here?
Either.
Okay, I live, my address is 1031 Hope Street, San Bernardino, California, 92408. And my name is John, and my last name is Fu, F-U. And I'm a little bit late, so I haven't heard the whole hearing. I know you have discussed the traffic, water, fire, environment, and a lot of the main concern. I have two questions. The first one, have you ever discussed the dust and the noise when the firehouse is being built? Because I know when, I'm not quite sure because I'm not a professional warehouse builder, so I don't know whether while you are building the warehouse, will you create some noise and the dust to the environment? Because we live in the neighborhood, so I know that we live in the high desert, so we have a lot of dust.
So you're referring to one of the earlier projects? Is that what
Hope,
it is?
Hope
yeah.
Street you live on?
Yeah, Hope yeah. Street.
This was
just
part of
the
Hillwood
the,
project.
You know,
okay.
The working site. So when you are building the warehouse, you might create some dust and noise.
So
that's my that's.
So for those projects, large scale projects, there are dust control measures. We have mitigation measures that.
So you can control the dust, right?
Dust, yes, we do.
Okay. The second question is about the electricity, because living in this area, the electricity sometimes is not stable, and the voltage is a little bit low. Some even if the company, electricity company, is just very close to my house, however. The electricity supply is not satisfactory sometimes. So I just wonder if you build the warehouse or in the future you might use a lot of the electricity. So I hope, I don't know whether it's possible you use the electricity separated from the citizen, the electricity line.
Well, I know they put their vaults, on-site vaults, and so they do.
So they can solve the problem, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's my concerns.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Howie, you have any questions of the group?
I do. As far as the landscape, it looks like you were kind of asking for like a buffer. Maybe I just found the answer. Maybe it might be off to the side. 2.5 feet is kind of what the buffer you're looking for.
Yeah, and again, we're looking for alternatives. I mean, ultimately, this project will go to the city council. And
okay.
so we're trying to make sure that we address as many of the development standards as we can for residential projects. This will be a kind of a unique project, and we're also looking at how we want to, what kind of regulations do we have for other projects similar to this. As you know, there are a lot of existing vacant commercial buildings that are out there, and we suspect that this may be something that is done more frequently. And so we want to be able to kind of make sure that we at least address as much as we can with these projects as they come forward. We also want to be mindful that you are abutting a residential property. So it's just some of those things. I mean,
okay.
And so so we work. And I know there's some modifications for the parking stalls and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we had kind of talked on site about the variance application as far as for the parking depth. Because obviously if I go 2.5 feet, 18, 24, 18, the front face of that entire structure would not fit
my
4 foot wide path to get through for handicap accessibility.
Yeah, so we've explored that, and we can schedule a meeting to kind of see what kind of site modifications we can do.
And come up with the kind
right.
of maybe meet where we only are modifying
yeah, but, you know, my,
of them, not all of them.
Correct. Our thoughts is that if you were to take the literal interpretation of what our development code requires for various standards, this wouldn't be possible.
Correct. And that's where we were at. That's why I think when we were at the site, why we were addressing so many of these concerns, because I knew with ADA requirements and little buffers
right,
and things
right.
like that, we weren't going to be able, even
right.
with the open space requirement, that we weren't going to comply.
So my suggestion is I'll have Melina contact you so we can schedule a meeting for early next week or sometime next week.
Okay.
So we can all sit down and kind of, flush things out.
Okay. And then as far as any particular for these, we're kind of recommending relocating the handicap stalls to kind of get a backup. Is there a specific amount for these cars to back up?
No, there isn't.
Okay. So just something for them?
But yes, just kind of from personal or past experience, if you're in stall number 9,
right.
how do you back out and get out, so
right.
so usually where you have 10 and 11, where we eliminate those, maybe it's 5 feet. I don't know what the magic number is.
Okay.
So you can be able to swing back and
pull your car back
down. So you can come out in the forward
okay.
motion. Thank you. There's no action required on that one. So well, thank you very much. We'll meet next week if possible.
Okay.
That works with your schedules. And then ultimately, we'll look forward to your formal application.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And with that, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting to September 13th. It is, I think it's 10:50.
So moved.
All right.
Okay. We'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you.